Did you ever think about the very basic tenets, or the very basic principles of this thing called Christianity? I mean, really think about it. The simplest of doctrines that express the deepest and most important truths that can be found in this universe. It boggles the human mind to truly attempt to understand the absolute simplicity of the pronouncements found in this Holy Bible, which is the only book that explains the existence of and the reason for the race to which you and I belong. You won't find anywhere else. It opens with four startling words. In the beginning, God. And it ends with four startling words. Surely, I come. How desperately, over the centuries, man has tried to amend, tried to explain, tried to rewrite, tried to interpret for himself, and change the words found in this book to fit his idea of Christianity, and failed. Failed to change that simple truth that this holy book provides to those of us who, as the world says, are foolish enough to believe it. Amen? Well, I'm quoting this morning the great English pastor, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Listen now to the very essence of the childlike faith of Christianity. The childlike faith. Unless you become as little children. Amen. The childlike faith of Christianity, as Spurgeon warned the late 18th century English Baptists of the new theology infiltrating their pulpits and their churches, coming across the channel from Europe. I now quote Spurgeon. There are two great legacies the Christian has received from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is the manger, from which the Christian learns how God came down to man. The second is the cross, from which the Christian learns how man gets up to God. It's pretty simple. One informs us that God came to the human race. The other informs us that every human being has the opportunity to go up to God. That's pretty simple. A child can understand that. How accurate Jesus was when he says, except you become as little children, you will never understand, comprehend. Well, let's not talk about little children. Let's talk about grown-ups. You know, it's easy to convince a little child than it is a grown up. I believe these two truths, these two legacies, as Spurgeon labels them, present the simplicity of the gospel message that men and women and boys and girls need to hear today. The miracle of the manger and the submission of the cross. Over the past 60 or so years, the same false teaching Spurgeon warned England of has infiltrated far too many American pulpits today. The neo-religionists are gaining ground every day. God spoke and time began. You know that? That's when time began. When God spoke. The eternity was interrupted. That's the best way to put it. Eternity was interrupted by God's creation of the universe. In the beginning, God. So what? It's God. And God spoke. And eternity. I mean, time began. The earth we live on today is a tiny part of that vast creation. Little speck. This movie tonight may go into some of this, which I didn't even know was going to happen. The earth we live on today is a tiny part of that vast creation. The race to which we belong is God's image in the flesh. The fleshly image of God. God's fleshly image sinned by not believing God. That's pretty simple. The whole human race is now born in sin because God's fleshly image didn't believe his word. That's simple. Nothing complicated about that at all. God's fleshly image was now destined to die because God's word was disobeyed. If you eat the fruit of this one tree, just this one tree. If you eat the fruit of it, you'll die. Isn't that what God said? Eat the fruit. One fruit. You'll die. Die. If you touch honey, that stove, you'll get burned. Burned. Oh. Right? Pretty simple. Well, of course, the book reveals to us what happened, doesn't it? God's fleshly image ate the forbidden fruit, and death entered the entire human race. Am I still got you, or is that too deep to understand? So, this, dear friends, made the manger necessary. Here we see what Surgeon referred to as the number one legacy. Christmas. The birth of the eternal God himself in the very flesh he created his human likeness in. Completely human and yet completely God. This miracle was accomplished by a virgin human woman giving birth to Jesus Christ. So far, I've still got you, right? I'm going to try to get this across by using the Bible instead of my own words. So you bear with me, because many of you are going to say, we've heard all this before, and I'm going to say, you're going to hear it again. It's a simple story. Not a lot of deep theology in it. And yet it's very theological. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, now this guy's a preacher. Nicodemus saying unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Boy, Jesus believed in repeating himself, didn't he? The wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Have you been preaching all these years? Have you been teaching children? Have you been witnessing to people? And you don't know this? You don't know about what I'm talking about? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he stole the candy bar. Because he committed adultery. Because he murdered another human being. No. No. Because Adam and Eve, he did not believe the word of God. That's why he was condemned. That's why you're condemned if you're not a Christian. And this, Jesus didn't leave it there because he knew they were simple minded. He knew Nicodemus was simple minded. And so he told him a simple story. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Golly, that's pretty funny. Don't you think? I just can't believe that. Of course you can't. Of course you can't believe it. You've got to be born again. Don't you see? You've got to give up and get God. How do you do that? You confess to God. You believe his word. You don't understand it. Why would he save somebody like you? That's not the point. God's love and God's grace cancels all that out. I don't think I need to be saved. There you go. There you go. There's the wisdom of the world. We're going to talk about that sometime too. There's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom of the word. I suggest highly, if you're not a Christian today, you find out about the wisdom of the word. Well, now we come to legacy number two. In order to make this new birth possible, in order for this preacher, Nicodemus, to go up to God, God who came down as a human being had to die. Yeah. That's the second legacy. You know, a legacy is something someone gives to you. You didn't have anything to do with your legacy. Think about that. Think about that. You didn't have anything to do with it. God did it all. If you believe, do you? Not only did God have to die, yes, that's right, as a man, but he died because he came 100% human and 100% God. He had to die, but he had to live a totally perfect and sinless life that was absolutely impossible for Nicodemus, for this preacher, or for anybody here to do themselves. The New Testament of God's holy book tells us all about that life as Mary's boy, the carpenter of Nazareth, fulfilled that mission for all who will believe the word of God that our first parents disobeyed. I really don't know how I can make it any plainer or simpler than that. The Apostle Paul understood these two legacies when he wrote these words to the church at Galatia. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. We're on a wonderful study with Randy on Fridays in the book of Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we read, on this page. Here's what Paul writes to the church. This is Paul's witness. This is Paul's testimony. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, he's saying, I, Paul, had to get rid of Paul. Not what he's saying. And that's what people don't want to do. Start all over like a new baby. But that's what we have to do. A legacy, as I said earlier, is not something you or I have earned, possibly not even something we deserve, but it's something handed down to us freely from someone else. In this case, God through the Lord Jesus Christ. These two legacies we spoke of this morning were earned for us by Jesus. Born of a virgin in a man, in a manger, and handed down to us freely on a cruel Roman cross. All that God asks us to do is what?
Believe.
Believe. You say, I just don't understand why God would do that for me. God doesn't ask you to understand. He asks you to believe. The manger and the cross, yes, it cost the carpenter a life of rejection, of persecution, of suffering, in order to be your Savior. It costs you nothing to believe the word of God. Think about it. The creator of this universe loved you so much, he came down to this little speck in the universe to save your life. Thank you. I want to close with this. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. All, everybody, every single human being that has lived from the time of Adam and Eve till today. You and I can do nothing to save ourselves from death and hell. Nothing. Thus, as Spurgeon points out, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, two legacies handed down to all who believe: the manger of Bethlehem and the cross of Calvary. Happened because of us. From the disobedience in the garden to the new heaven and new earth, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all in here. Spurgeon was right, and for one, I'm thankful he was. In the beginning, God, in Genesis. In the end, surely I come quickly, in Revelation. We find the simple story of God's two great legacies to every Christian believer in the manger of Bethlehem. Cross.